if not more. And they're definitely not at the cutting edge regarding electric vehicles.
Yeah.
In regard to Chinese competitors like BYD and Xiaomi, for example.
Yeah.
So if you have so much supply chain integration, what it means is that effectively it's impossible for BYD to come to Canada and set up an auto plant. And one thing that's been lurking beneath the surface, and even the Chinese side, the Chinese embassy, have been very reluctant to openly discuss this, is that China is not really just offering, you know, like to drop its canola tariffs in exchange for dropping its 100% EV tariffs on China. China is has been kind of inching toward offering to build a Canadian supply chain system for BYD, at least for its Canadian market, if not its North American market, broader market, international markets, because it recognizes that Canada has a big auto industry and this is something that's valuable to us. So until and unless we actually, to some extent, exit ourselves from NAFTA's deep supply chain integration on the auto sector, it's actually impossible for us to do this. So because the terms just don't line up.
Right. So what would the alternative be then?
I think
what arrangement would we need to keep the auto industry and the degree of cooperation back and forth across the border, which seems to be key to it, without falling into this trap?
Yeah, so that's kind of the big trap, and it's the challenge. And this is also why the federal government has been very tight-lipped on it throughout. I think there's two things you can do here. The first thing is to understand that to some extent, Big Three is just simply in secular decline, right? You know, like I think Stellantis slash Chrysler closed a plant in Canada. I think it's very unlikely they're going to build more plants, but it is not unlikely that they will close more plants. So I think you have to think, you know, over the period of the next several decades, the Big Three are simply in decline. The second thing you have to look at, really the big Canadian auto sector success stories, and that's Frank Stronach and Magna International. You know, he arrived in Canada as a 16-year-old Austrian apprentice and built a company that has become the leading auto parts supplier in the world and does basically sub-assembly, entire assemblies actually in Europe for BMW and so on. And the key here is to really specialize in specific things and just absolutely have a monopoly in these things,
right.
Very specific parts. I think with regard to the existing or previous Canadian auto sector strategy, it was to kind of put a lot of money, we're talking tens of billions of dollars of tax incentives, into supporting EV battery factories, because batteries are kind of the future core, the heart of the EV sector. That has just not been successful. Northvolt, which is the European manufacturer that has promised to build a plant in Canada, that has literally filed for bankruptcy, and it just hasn't worked out. I think you kind of have to have that discussion about, could we get BYD to line up, for example, with Magna, with other Canadian auto parts suppliers, where there is a sustainable value chain, not just in terms of direct manufacturing in Canada, but also for viable Canadian companies that create value and for these value to stay in Canada.
So would that be creating some sort of cooperation between Chinese EV companies
and Canadian auto parts suppliers
as part of a deal to reduce what is now, I think, a 300% tariff?
100% tariff.
Okay.
But it's just same as the United States, 100% tariffs. Although I think the way Xiaomi is going, it probably could be competitive even with 100% tariffs.
Yeah.
So it might be going up. But the problem, the issue I see here is essentially, yeah, they're going to have to work out a way so for Canada, for the Canadian auto industry to fit into the global EV ecosystem, which a lot of decision makers think is going to become a key part, if not the key part, of auto manufacturing going forward. I want to add one more note. I think the auto sector directly employs 100,000 people in Canada and indirectly employs anywhere between, depends on how you count it, like 500,000 people to 1 million people in Canada. It is a very substantial economic sector in Canada. It is not easy to make these long-term calculations. And I think to some extent, the exit Trump was offering Canada on this, in terms of the integrated auto sector, integrated steel and aluminum sector, integrated forestry sector, was a fairly dignified one and one that was kind of fairly gradual and sort of a gradual step down over, you know, a decade or more. And I think this is why Ottawa kind of is now weirdly aligned more with Trump and then, you know, Doug Ford and David Eby's on the other side.
Can I weigh in a few comments?
Very quickly. Yeah. We got about a minute here, Peter.
Well, one thing is that the issue is that, first of all, Jimmy Carter, as I said last week, made it that all comments by a president is in the public domain. And we went over that. The whole address, he said, they were placing tariffs on Japan because they had broken certain regulations or whatever. So they were not. It was not in out of context. It was above board, and that the Reagan Institute was, as I was saying last week, they're going more for what the current Americana is than the true legacy of Ronald Reagan. Now, one last thing I'm going to want to bring up is
very quickly though
is in the OOs, didn't all the Metroit just end just about, like they were closing down the factories and so on? What happened to that?
Whatever it is, it's not good things. And the other thing I would add one sentence is that just because you can do certain things regarding Ronald Reagan's wars and so forth, and just because they're true, does not make them wise actions.
Well, we have the right to do it. I'm for Doug Ford doing it.
Okay,
myself.
Thanks, Peter. And that's the kind of passionate opinion you get here on CJSF. We are in the middle of fund drive. We're in the middle of fund drive, and we've got our first donations on this show. We're up to about $700 towards our $10,000 goal so far, with some donations that came in prior to the drive, which is a good start for 10:30 a.m. on the first day of the drive. So thank you to everyone who's donated so far, and thank you to our caller who just made a donation. That's really wonderful. Those of you who are out there thinking about it, now's a great time to jump on your phone or your computer and make a donation at cjsf.ca/donate, or you can find more information about the drive and what we're doing and where your money will go at cjsffunddrive.ca. You can give us a call, although it's a little difficult to take them in the middle of the show, but we'll manage. Okay, time for Gardening with Embark, and then we'll be back with Peter's commentary on media coming up in about 10 minutes or so.
There is dead air. I got my headphones on.
Yeah, I know, Peter. We'll just play this. This is also part of community radio.
Yes, dead air.
Please don't make a big deal out of it like that. We're supposed to.
I'm DJ Coco, and I'm DJ Star. Come join us for Slumber Party, Tuesdays at 6 p.m. You'll hear female artists, oversharing, and research on health, psychology, and identity. Hope to see you there.
I have trouble picking up the station.
This is something we tell. I'm now for Gardening with Embark, and joining me in the studio is our gardens expert, Pablo Vimas of Embark Sustainability. Welcome to the program.
Happy to be here.
So things are really winding down in the garden, and it's kind of time to think about how to end out the season and get things ready for a bit of a break, perhaps.
Yes, as you mentioned, and we've been talking over the last few weeks, the work in the garden is slowly down. We have put the garden to bed for the winter, and we have done our janitorial work activities to make sure that everything is clean around before the first snow comes or the first frost. And now it's time to as well focus on the tools. Here in Bark, we have storage boxes made of wooden slats, mm-hmm. and which are no waterproof, so we need to just start cleaning.
So they're fine for the summer and through the season to put things away and keep them safe, but
yes, they are during the winter, on fall and winter, there is too much water going through, and so the old handles with our shovels and forks get wet and they destroy, so we just cleaning the metal bits and bring all the tools indoors. So for the winter. Yeah. The same with the hand towels as well. We just clean, make a good clean, put a bit of oil to protect from rust, and bring them indoors too. So that.
What sort of oil do you use when you're?
We just the W-40.
just give it a little spray.
A little spray and that's it. And rub it with a towel and that's it. So that will be ready to tools for the next year. Usually we leave tarps outside. We don't bring them in. Mm-hmm. Usually they are all. But when we, as I mentioned, we have these storage boxes in there, which are also no rodent proof.
Yeah.
So usually over the winter when we go the next year, the tarps have been chewed by rodents. So,
okay.
So you have to be aware of that. Right. So if you have an expensive tarp, bring it indoors as well. Yeah. You don't want that to be used as a nesting for rodents over the winter.
Yeah.
So that's with how the garden is moving. Last week we talked about mulching. And again, we need to make sure that our garden, our composter is topped up with nice brown leaves, which will at least 2 inches thick. So that will work as a big insulation mat for the earthworms living in the compost.
Right.
Now that we are talking about compost bin, here we use compost bin. We may also make sure that the compost bin, everything around the compost is clean.
Yeah.
And we add lots of mulch, wood chips around, because here in campus, the garden is not a priority for snow cleaning.
Mm-hmm.
So any snow that falls around the composter, which is plastic, we don't want that it gets broken because of the change of temperature.
Right, it's hard on the plastic.
It's hard on the plastic. So we make sure that everything is clean. And when it snows, that's the first thing that we do, clean around the compost bin. So if you have a compost bin at home, make sure that as well everything is clean. And here at the Student Union, we had a compost bin that we placed it on top of a pallet. Mm-hmm. The fact is that if the salt is sprayed, because here all the pots are sprayed with salt for safety reasons, we don't want the salt as well gets in close to the composter or inside the composter.
Right.
So
yeah, that's not going to be good.
Absolutely not. So make sure that it's elevated above ground so the salt that we are spreading wherever you have your compost doesn't get into the composter bin. So those are things that we make sure that they are ready for the winter. As we've been talking as well over this summer, we've been transferring our garden from one place to another.
Yeah.
And that involved carrying a wheelbarrow.
That was a lot of work. A lot of soil.
So we had one wheelbarrow that is six cubic feet of soil that can carry. And after we just walk around 500 meters. No, it's not too far.
Yeah.
But after a few trips, your forearms are blown because it's heavy. So since we had to do a lot of work, I managed to get a kind of a straps that you attach to your shoulders.
Yeah.
And those straps go along your arms and that you can have handles. And you put those hoops in the handles
of
the wheelbarrow and...
So you're supporting a lot of the weight on your shoulders instead of your hands and arms.
And yes. So your arms is just for directing the wheelbarrow, but it's not holding the full weight of the wheelbarrow. It's your shoulder that is holding. So that was quite useful. More trips, less pain. And the next day, we could do almost every day quite a few wheelbarrows because without that, I was just able to do a few wheelbarrows at a time. And that was for the day because my arms were all tired. So, yes, just to share with that, so our listeners can realize that there is those tools out there.
Mm-hmm.
You can get that from Amazon. And, yes, it's just a simple strap that you attach to your shoulders, and that can be for your wheelbarrow. For next season, if you have a lot of manure to bring to the garden.
Because and people will often get a load of soil delivered to set up for, you know, when they're starting their new season or preparing.
Correct. Yeah. So when we start in spring, we get our load of compost, manure, mushroom manure, and that needs to be brought inside the garden. So have this now we have the time to order that, to test, to see how it feels, how it works. Yep. And yeah, so that's one thing. That the other thing that we decided is as well to get a Gorilla wagon.
Mm-hmm.
So a very small wagon that we can load in there, and it has four wheels. You just walk with it. It's easy to direct and less strain on your body. Yep. So than a wheelbarrow. Yeah.
So we're in week 44, really pretty much at the end of the season. Is there anything in the garden that you need to, you know, do you have anything still growing that you're harvesting?
At the moment, yes, we have some leeks, yep. Carrots, some kale is still is growing in there. Yep. And yeah, so.
And do gardeners need to, because I mean, we're really at the point with that frost that's going to really end things is around the corner,
yes.
If not sooner. Mm-hmm. Do we have to get all those sort of done?
No, really. For instance, leeks, they don't mind the frost,
yeah.
And neither the carrots. The carrot tops will die, yeah. But the roots will stay on the ground.
Yeah.
Yeah, and so it's just harvesting as we need.
Right.
We don't need to remove everything and leave empty those garden beds. No, we still can keep those over the winter. So as you know, during this time, most of the plants are switching, removing the water from their cells,
mm-hmm.
and replacing with antifreeze, substance rich in sugars. So that's why all the vegetables over the winter, they are sweeter.
Right.
That's why when you go and pick a carrot over the winter and you bite on it, it's like, oh, this is so sweet. But the plant is keeping it's producing its antifreeze,
yeah.
to survive the winter. So that's something that why the reason these winter vegetables are sweeter.
Oh, nice. All right, well, we're next week's going to be our last episode for this season, because really,
yes.
as we see, things are really winding down, mm-hmm. the garden. We're going to, mm-hmm. talk a bit about planning for the next season, particularly around when you need to start the sort of schedule and timeline for,
yes,
for getting,
yes.
things rolling. Because, of course, some things start in January, even with seedlings and stuff. So,
yep.
even though you might not be outside in the garden or really even thinking about gardening that much, you do need to sort of, if you really want to start from seeds and stuff, you need to start early. And that can save you a bunch of money too, right? Going from seeds rather than having
correctly,
to go to,
yes,
go to the.
Yeah, so. Yeah, next week we should be talking about our schedule or calendar for the garden calendar for next year. And one of these is just deciding what we are going to plant, what seeds are we going to order, are we going to go in person to collect the seeds, are we going to trust in the post office to be running,
yeah.
all that. We want to go into heirlooms, native plants, where we can get those seeds. So all of that is to consider, and then make our seeding plan when we start seeding indoors, so we have our vegetables ready outdoors. And yes, it will always save us the money, mm-hmm. when we are growing our own seedlings, because we grow what we like to eat, the varieties that they are not often available in the garden centers.
Mm-hmm.
So there could be a kind of lettuce or spinach that you really enjoy, but there is nothing in yeah. the garden center. So that's something that we can start very early in the year. And once we have our planning, we say as well, when I'm going to start ordering my soil,
mm-hmm.
To add to my garden bed, and all that activity. Yeah, so once January arrives, which usually arrives with an awesome weather, spring-like,
yeah.
we gardeners are like, yes, now it's time to start gardening. And yeah, sometimes we got too eager and start just doing things in the garden. But yeah. we should have a schedule of things to do month by month.
Excellent. All right, well, we'll be back next week to talk about all that. Thank you, Pablo Vimas. Tell us a bit about Embark and how people can learn more about it.
So yeah, Embark is a nonprofit organization based here in SFU. We are a research and education center for our students, and you can find us at the Student Union Building in the room 1310. You can visit our website embarksustainability.org or follow us through our social channels at embarksustainability.
All right, thanks so much, Pablo. Talk to you next week.
See you next week.
Just one more thing before your interview. Can I have your address, please?
I live on Main Street.
I need your exact address.
I live on Main Street.
Oh.
No job, no home. And no home, no job. Don't let homelessness assumptions get in the way of homelessness solutions. Go to CanadaCanDoIt.ca. Help the Canadian Alliance to End Homelessness.
Welcome back. You're listening to Speak Up here on CJSF 90.1 FM. It is Fund Drive, and we are asking for your support all week long to help support the radio station through our operations throughout the year. Gardening and Bark is one of the segments we bring you every week. Locally produced right here at CJSF with the support of the Embark Sustainability Society, one of our colleagues here in the Student Union Building, and of course with our expert, Pablo Vimas. And Pablo joins us every week to talk about gardening here in Southwest British Columbia with an endless font of tips and wise offerings on successful gardening. One of the many types of programming we have here at CJSF that is worth your support. And if you think so, or really enjoy listening to any of the programming here at CJSF, I hope you'll make a donation. Thanks to Carmen, who donated $50. That is awesome, and we're really excited. We've, like I say, over $700 already just this morning on the first, well, some of it came in before the drive, but we're well on our way towards our goal of $10,000. You can help us reach that goal by making a donation right now. You can go to our website, our Fund Drive website, cjsffunddrive.ca, go directly to the donation page at cjsf.ca/donate. And make a donation now. Any amount is good, but we'd love to see $100 or $120. It's not that much. That's like 30 cents a day or so. That would be terrific. Or you can text 778-782-CJSF. Text the word donate, and you'll get a link back to your phone that you can use to make that donation. Peter, you're going to talk about media.
Yes. Well, the other thing is that I'm going to talk about, and it kind of coincides with media because there's a story, in fact, about Canada and the Philippines signed a status of visiting forces agreement, which I only heard it once on CBC radio on Sunday. But I, and I'll just go over kind of what I said at the beginning. Today, which was yesterday, this is from the government of Canada. Today, the Canadian Minister of National Defense and the Philippine Secretary of National Defense signs a status of visiting forces agreement between Canada and the Philippines. And I really didn't have time to go a bit in depth on this. It would have been the Philippines is interesting because I think it's the son of Marcos, who's now in power. And there's
Ferdinand Marcos.
And we,
and is it Ferdinand Marcos Jr.?
Yes. And Marcos, of course, his wife had all those shoes. Me and Magnus are a bit older to remember this kind of stuff. And it sort of went back towards what it was at one time. The person that took over Marcos, and fortunately, she... It was a better arrangement, but she perhaps did not do as much reform as possible. Divorce is illegal in the Philippines, only in this Vatican City, which is a country, which is really not a city, and it's in Rome itself, but it is a legality of being a country. Well, in the Taiwan and Vatican City, the only countries are not part of the UN. Every other country is a member of the United Nations. Just as a side note, but divorce is illegal. If people are tending farms which they don't own, it's a bad situation. So. In the weeks ahead, there's a Philippines group here. Actually, it's kind of across the hall with Embark. And in the future, we'll talk more about this. But it kind of coincides with this. This is sort of an important story, and really haven't heard about it.
Yeah.
Now, so I went to, like, it was a, and it really wasn't a workshop. It was more of a, just a meeting about how you have to have to get more than one source from the media, from the internet. We're sort of going away from being the newspapers, magazines, the internet are becoming a force. And there is a problem. I've had a problem in the last 2.25 years. It's been pretty good. I think that this, the kind of reporting I'm doing, which is very interesting, if it is almost entirely internet-based, would not have been done, I think, 30 years ago, because it just wouldn't have had the resources that you have on the internet to get the information. But there are, like I made an error about a year and a half ago about, it was from John Oliver, who sort of does a little comedy thing.
Yeah.
And he said something that was wrong. He said that Hillary Clinton was for having people in Haiti having a lower wage or whatever it was. And I just went with what he said, and I... maybe I've made other errors. Hopefully not. But I made a retraction on this. You hear a lot about the legacy media. Well, I'm sort of not big on the legacy media because Time Magazine. I got a book from the library. It's actually I wanted to get something a bit better, but this is from 2004. Magazines that made history. It's got Time. They got 8 magazines, yeah. Time, Life, People, National Geographic, and 3 European ones.
Right.
So
we got to, like, 2 minutes.
Well, anyway, People magazine has, from the onset, done the most shallow kind of reporting, kind of emphasizing shallowness. By the way, Life magazine...
Although that was its point.
Yeah, it was the point, but it's part of the Time, Life... And Life magazine ended as a weekly because of postage rates. Uh-huh. It went up too much in 1972. And it wasn't that it wasn't successful as it were. It was just that the postal rates would have made it more expensive. So right. That's why it was discontinued. And there's a big difference between Life and People. Life, which started in 1936, was not so emphasis on celebrity, which not that it didn't have Marilyn Monroe on the cover every once in a while. It was perhaps more show busy than, but it was sort of a bad emphasis in our culture that it went from Life magazine, People came 1974. And in this chapter on People, it sort of says, they kind of go out of their way to be shallow, actually. And they were saying that because People's part of Time, Life, or whatever you want to call it, that the people in Time magazine looked down on the reporters of People magazine. They got kind of upset about this,
right.
And so on. But I think they had a right to look down on them. Maybe they were stuck with that job, I guess. But one thing about People is that supposedly celebrity dead is the best thing for them. When a celebrity dies, that'll... Because they made a big error with Elvis, supposedly. When Elvis died, they had Marty Feldman on the cover of somebody. And they missed out.
Right.
So they made it up ever since. Anyway, so... Oh, by the way, there was... I was surprised. Somebody once said, there's nothing older than yesterday's newspaper. And the guy lived from 1927, and he died in 1989.
Yeah.
And I thought it was an older expression. It's actually it's more of a longer thing. It's based on a longer statement he made.
Right.
But I was a bit surprised that's not as old of a statement as I would have thought.
All right. Thanks for that, Peter. You've been listening to Speak Up here on CJSF 90.1 FM. My name is Magnus Tewald. Joining me in the studio here was Peter R.H. And we also had Stephen Fan in the studio earlier as well. It's Fun Drive time. I hope you will make a donation this week. CJSF.ca.
/donate is where you can go to make a donation right now. Democracy Now! Is up in a few minutes. We are the only station that broadcasts Democracy Now! At a reasonable time of day and on the same day. I think that's special. And Amy Goodman will want you to make a donation to CJSF because she's a big supporter of community radio, and that's why she makes the show available to us and others.